Yeah, I think we could go on to the house and say, boy, we had a good service today. Amen. That's what makes a good service. Hallelujah. Take your Bible and turn to the little book of Jude. Jude, right before the book of the Revelation, you find the very last book of your Bible. That is the book of Revelation. And just right before the book of Revelation, there is 25 short verses called the book of Jude. And this year, Levi, and let me tell you a little bit about our calendars. We rushed them just a little bit and got some dates messed up and fouled up. We've got our big day at the park. If you'll look at your calendar, if you picked one up on the watch night service, our big day at the park wound up being on Easter Sunday, and that won't work. So, but we're redoing that, and there'll be some dates added to it and some things fixed. So, but what I want to talk about this morning is the picture and then the theme of this calendar, which is our theme for the year. And somebody says, is it necessary to have a theme for the year? No, it's not necessary, but I think it's good to have a goal. Yeah. Yeah. Amen, wouldn't you? I think it'd be good to strive for something this year. We got too many people just living so casually. They just take whatever comes and when it comes. Well, whatever happens, happens. You know, that's a bad philosophy. Well, whatever's going to be is going to be. No, it's not. Amen. You can set things in order in your own life to make a difference this year. Yes. You can make a decision that some things in your life is going to be different this year. You are in control of your life. Man. Well, I just believe that whatever's going to happen. Oh, listen, man, that's totally up to you. There are things that come that are unforeseen. Of course, I'm not stupid. I can't predict the future, but I can make some decisions today that will affect my tomorrow. Jenny made a decision just now to trust Christ as her Savior. And you know what that decision did? It didn't just affect tomorrow. It affected her eternity. Amen. We are so fleshly driven. We are driven and motivated by the things that are now and now. And we need to be, as Christians, driven by things that are eternal. Amen. This morning, I want to look at our theme verse for this year. And I think this would be a good 2014 theme. If the Lord tarries, I believe it'd be good to carry it on to 15 and 16 and 17 and on and on and on. Verse number 22 of the book of Jude, look at it. Somebody said, which chapter? I heard you say it. I think it was Brother Robbie, amen? Jude only has one chapter. Jude 22. Look at it with me. The Bible said, and of some have, say the word with me, compassion. Say the rest of the verse with me, making a difference. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Did you know you and I can choose this morning that over the next 12 months that we're going to purpose in our heart that we're going to make a difference in somebody's life? Do you know I believe that is the function and the purpose of the church? Yeah. Is to make a difference in the lives of people, in the lives of communities, in the lives of states, in the lives of countries, and in the lives of the world. That's our job. We are put here to make a difference. We're not going to turn to all the scripture this morning, but I have got four or five that I want you to look at carefully with me this morning. But in the book of Acts, the beginning of the church, the early church, when the church was birthed, we see the function of the church. I'm afraid as we look across our great land, especially in America, the church has lost sight of its function. They've got everything going on at the church except what's supposed to be going on at the church. Church was never intended to be a concert. Somebody help me. They said, I just like the way that felt coming off my tongue. Church was never meant to be a concert. Church was never meant to be a place of secular or worldly entertainment. I don't think it's God's will. I don't think God favors it or smiles upon it. But in churches all across America, here in just a few weeks, they will move their pulpits. They will shine a projector on a big screen and will play the Super Bowl in the house of God. Somebody say, what's wrong with the Super Bowl? Nothing. But it's not for church. This is a house of worship. Certainly all the Budweiser commercials have no place in God's house. Last year they had demon possessed. Yes, I said it, demon possessed. What's her name? Beyonce? Doing her little devil star and summoning her demon in her so that she could perform better. They played that in churches. Can you believe it? I believe places like that they may call a church, but it's not a church. The church was not intended to be a platform for motivational speaking. Although at times as a pastor, our job is to motivate you to do better and to do right and to do more with your life. But the function of the church, if you'll notice the book of Acts, the very first thing we see that was happening in the church was that the Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what's happened already this morning here at Happy Valley? Before we ever got to the preaching, before we ever got done with the special singing, the Lord has added to the church today such as should be saved. Ain't that a blessing? That is the number one function of the church. Today, churches are feeding the hungry. Secondary. Churches are clothing the poor. Secondary. Churches are flying and shipping medicine into third world countries. Secondary. Yeah. You say, what's wrong with those things? Absolutely nothing. And we have part in every one of them. Yeah. We give money. I give to missions every week. And part of that missions money goes to feed hungry. Yeah. Goes to clothe the poor. Goes to medicate the sick. It goes to educate the uneducated. I'm not against that. But the very first thing we see happening in the early church is people being born again. People trusting Christ as their Savior. People not just securing their future of tomorrow, but people securing their future in heaven forever and ever and ever. That's number one. And it's got to stay number one. You want to make a difference? Give them Christ. You want to make a difference in America? We've got to give Christ to America. This great nation was birthed, founded on the principles of this Bible and upon Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. She's wandered a long way from it. Our job is to point them back to Him. Amen. The function of the church is, number one, first of all, it's salvation, seeing people get their eternal soul taken care of. And by the way, I don't care. I'm not bashing anybody's religion. By the way, I'm not a religionist. I'm not even a religious person. I don't like the word religion. I like the word relationship. There are things you are religious about. I have a routine. I'm OCD. I know I should have medicine. I have a routine, and things have to be in a certain order. I'll check into a motel Wednesday afternoon, probably sometime after lunch. I don't know why I'm telling this. I'm weird. I'm telling you. I'm OCD. The first thing I'll do, I'll take my toiletries out of my bag, and I'm tell you right now exactly where everything will sit on that sink. That's your preacher. Amen. There's things I'm religious about. That doesn't make me saved. That's right. I'm religious how I put on my socks and shoes. I just do things a certain way. And you say, preacher, you're weird. I guarantee you, you're religious about some things too. Amen. But that doesn't make you spiritual. Religious does not make you spiritual. Religious makes you predictable. I'm not religious. I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care what religion or what your background is. There is only one way, and His name's Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. If there was another way, why did Jesus have to die? Number one function, I got to get to the message. Number one function of the church is to see people saved. Yeah. Secondly, we saw them feeding the poor. Taking care of widows and orphans. Did you know that's been the job of the church since there was a church? And we do our best to be a blessing. But what we have done, we have shifted the function of the church and we've dumped the function of the church onto the government. The government's job was never to feed the poor. Never. That was never the intentions when we constituted this nation, was to feed the poor and to give salaries to people who didn't have salaries. Boy, I'll make somebody mad here today. I had a man tell me up north here just a while back, and he was just serious he could be. He was buying my supper, a jobless man. He said, I'm going to take you to supper. I didn't know he didn't have a job. It came out during supper. He said, I've been drawing unemployment for such and such a time. He said, so-and-so offered me a job, but they couldn't pay me what unemployment does. Well, it got quiet. I'm not against people getting help who need help. But our government is making people dependent on it. The job of the church, when we take up a love offering around here, y'all did that for me this morning. That you know, that's good. And I'm not saying you need to do that every week. Maybe every other week. No, I'm kidding. Seriously, God knows my heart. I'm teasing. But hey, we may take up a love offering night. I come to this pulpit and I say, church, somebody has a need. Did you know I believe that's God's order? A lot of churches that have a lot of money, and we're not one of those. We live from week to week. We operate this church from week to week. I'm already trusting by faith that God will take care of the needs we have next week. Amen? Some churches have a benevolence budget. A benevolence budget. Now I'm going to get some people crossways with me right here. I'm going to preach till I'm done this morning. All y'all preach Tuesday night, I didn't get to, amen. They have a benevolence fund. What happens when the fund is out? Well, you're not in our budget. We don't budget help around here. We give it when we can, because that's the function of the church. Number one is to see people saved. Number two is to take care of the widows and the orphans, the poor and the needy. Number three, and I may have this one just a little out of whack, is to train people to go out and make more Christians. Right. Amen. That's the function of the church. I want to talk about making a difference. Making a difference. Brother, I ain't going to say the name. I don't want to give anything away that I shouldn't. But one of our men stood up the other night and talked about how a family that they just met on the internet came and made a difference in their life through Christmas. Well, that's a blessing. But that stuff will wear off shortly. Yeah. I want to talk about how we can make a real difference in the lives of people. Do you know you have the potential to make a difference in somebody's life for the good or the bad? And you are affecting people one way or the other. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5 this morning. Matthew chapter number 5. I'm going to give you these scriptures. I'll get you out of here as quick as I can. But I'm going to give you what I felt like the Lord laid on my heart. I want to tell you, as a church, how we can make a difference. How we can make a difference. Matthew chapter number 5. Look with me at verse number 43. Say amen when you're there. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 43. Let's back up to verse 42. The Lord said, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Look up here. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. My flesh, I don't even have to be saved to do that. I don't even have to know Christ. I don't even have to know a verse of Scripture to obey that verse right there. Amen. Love my neighbor. Who is my neighbor? My acquaintances, the people I know. Yeah. Love my family. I don't have no problem loving my mama. Amen. Are y'all listening? Yeah. Piece of cake. It's a natural thing for me to love my family. Yeah. It's a natural thing for you to love your friends. And it's a natural thing for you to hate your enemies. I don't have no problem with that. I wish it stopped right there. I wish I could get away with looking at certain people going, I hate his guts. I despise the ground they walk on. Some of you have made statements like that lately. And you're fulfilling that verse. Well, you're doing good as a Christian, aren't you? You're loving the people you're supposed to love and hating the people you're supposed to hate, right? Oh, it don't stop there. Jesus said, but I say unto you, here's what you've heard. Here's what the world teaches. Here's what your reality TV shows teach. I'm going to get sidetracked. If you watch some of that wicked stuff, you got problems. In reality, The Bachelor and all that crazy stuff, all them women, I've seen the commercials, all them cat fights, and I mean, y'all crazy if that entertains you. Amen. You know what that's teaching you? Obey verse 43.
Amen.
All that stuff's teaching you. Cut throat, do whatever you got to do to get ahead. It's nothing personal, it's just business. That's verse 43, up one side and down the other. But verse 44 said, Jesus said, here's what the world's taught you. Here's what you've learned from the secular. But I say unto you, Jesus says, here's what you've been taught, but here's the gospel. If it's coming from Him, it's truth.
Amen.
His word is truth, He said.
That's right.
He said, but I say unto you, watch this one. Ooh. Love your who?
Enemies.
Bless them that what?
Curse you.
You been cursed lately? That carries a couple of meetings. If you had somebody cuss you out on the road, pull out in front of them. I was driving in Hiram the other day, me and my wife, the day before yesterday. We was in Hiram. And you got to, Brother Keith, I don't know where you went. You got to drive in Hiram like you do in New York. Get what you can when you can get it.
That's right.
Or you going to be sitting a long time somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hiram is not a person. I can hate it. Son, I saw a gap just big enough for that Toyota to fit in. Whoom, I punched that thing. Boy, they was back there waving at me. Hey, I'm being nice. It wasn't the index finger. Amen. You know what I have to do? I have to pull a mama on them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. That's what He said. Amen. Them that curse you. I get cursed all the time. Hey, you know what my first response is? Probably about the same as you.
That's right. Amen.
I had one woman pull up beside me at a red light one day and was mouthing me, cussing me. I mouthed back to her, I ain't scared of you. I fought women bigger than you, amen. That's that fleshly response. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Wow. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise and the evil, rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Wow. You want to make a difference this year? Love somebody. Everybody is not easy to love. I wonder if there's anybody in here even got some family that's hard to love. Got some family here that's hard. No, don't raise your hand. Hey, there ain't nobody here but your wife, stupid. Don't raise your hand. Ain't nobody here but his wife. I said, you got family here. It's hard to love, James. Yeah, me. Should I make a prediction for your marriage? Amen. Poor Stella, y'all pray for her. Some people are hard to love. And you know what that takes? It takes effort. I have, yes ma'am, a lot of prayer. I have no trouble loving that woman sitting right over there. That's my best friend and my confidant. That's my soulmate. That's God's will for my life. I don't have to try to love her. I just love her. That's my daughter sitting beside her. My oldest. My firstborn. I don't have to try to love Ashley. It's just, I just love her. Her husband? I'm kidding. I love him with all my heart. That's God's will for her life. And the same with my son and my daughter-in-law and my baby girl and her husband. Brother Tony Shirley aggravates us all the time. Every time he's with me and Katie and Chase, Tony will say, Brother Eddie loved him first. He says that all the time. But we did. We just got to be close and got to be friends. I love my son-in-laws, both of them. I love my daughter-in-law. I love my children. That's natural. I have no trouble doing that. But there are people I have to put an effort. I have to make a conscious decision. Now, Lord, you said for me to love this person. Now, stay with me a minute. This is not camp meeting this morning. This is helpful. And if you'll use it, it'll make a difference in your life. Because when you love people, it doesn't just change the people you love. It changes you. And I've had to pray this oftentimes. God, you said for me to love this guy. Now, God, if it's your will for me to love this aggravating cuss, if it's your will for me to love them, then you can enable me to do that. Because, God, I want them. In the middle of next week. Y'all all right? We make a difference by loving. Remember the little bus family we helped during Christmas? We got the sweetest text from his mama. You know what? I've met the children. I've never met mama. My wife got to meet her. I've never met her. But boy, we got the sweetest text. And it was just some Christmas presents. But it was more than that. That mama who puts her child on a bus every week, she saw something. You know what she saw? Hey, them people really do care about us. They really do care about my children. You know what that took? It took an effort. And sometimes we think effort is just money, but it goes further than that. Sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes when somebody kneels in this altar, it's a hand on their back saying, hey, I'm right here, I'm praying with you. Sometimes it's a visit, just showing up at a funeral home. Most people, if you work a public job, you don't like everybody you work with. Yep. Nobody said you had to. Amen. But Jesus said you had to love them. Yes, sir. You hear they have a death in their family? Show up. Yeah. We sing that old hymn, Love Lifted Me. Not a love offering, love. Amen. Not a helping hand, love. Not a donation, but love. Love will make a difference in the lives of people. Yeah, right. If we don't do anything this year, here's what we're going to do. We're going to love people. Yeah. And I don't mean we're going to love sin. We're going to love people where they are, but we're going to preach against sin. Yeah. Somebody say amen right there. I'll change my whole message. We're going to preach against sin. We're going to preach against what ain't right. Right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, we're going to name them. Somebody said, bless God, you better not name mine. Stick around, it'll get hit. Amen. We're going to cover them all, but we're going to love you. Yeah. Did you know I can love you and still tell you what you're doing wrong in your life? Amen. Just because I tell you that smoking dope, drinking liquor, running around, adultery, just because I tell you those things are sin doesn't mean I'm your enemy. That means I'm your ally. I care enough about you. Now, there are some preachers who don't give a flip about you. They're interested in your wallet, and they would never tell you anything that goes contrary to your life.
You're right, preacher. You're right.
That's why Joel Osteen will never offend you.
Amen.
My job's to offend you every now and then.
That's right, preacher.
Did your parents offend you growing up? Mine still offends me. I'm 49 years old. And my mama still don't mind getting in my face and wagging that finger.
Amen.
And I still respect it.
Amen.
There ain't nobody on the face of this planet loves me any more than she does. Except maybe that woman right there. Just because you're correcting don't mean you don't love. Sometimes correcting means you do love. We can make a difference in the lives of people by loving. Let me give you another one. Some of you may not like this one real good. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. What time is it? I just acted surprised so you'd feel like I'm on the same page with you. Oh, he really cares what time it is. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Is that where I told you to go? I meant 4. Are you there? The Bible said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I said we can make a difference this year in the lives of people. Number one, by loving. Number two, by living. If I could get some people to live what they profess.
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
If I could get some people who would just do what they say they believe.
Amen.
And live what they say they live. I heard 4 pins drop right then. We've got enough Sunday morning Christians. There's enough Sunday religion going around. You know what we need in 2014? We need some Monday Christians. We need some Christians that'll show up to the workplace. I ain't talking about a bunch of self-righteous looking down your nose at other people, but I'm talking about caring about people on Monday like you care about people on Sunday, doing right on Monday like you did right on Sunday, talking right on Monday like you talked on Sunday. Some of you need to clean up that potty mouth you got. Oh, preacher, don't nobody in the church cuss. Why, you out of your mind?
Come on, preacher.
Yeah.
Come on.
Some of you so bold, you do it in front of me every now and then. You ready for the next point, huh? God changed our heart. But He wants that thing that happened in the heart to have an outward effect. We don't get saved from the outside in. We get saved from the inside out. And some of you have been saved long enough that you ought to be acting different. You know what will drive people from Jesus quicker than anything I know? Hypocrites. Number one excuse for not attending church is, but it is too many hypocrites. You know where that comes from? People seeing how you act on Sunday and then seeing how you act on Monday.
You're right, Richard.
You know who it affects, first of all? The people in your house.
You're right.
That know you best.
Yeah.
And they see you at church lifting your hand and praising the Lord, and they're sitting there. I've watched children in this church look at their parents like, yeah. Roll their eyes. That tells a story. I've been standing in my office on Sunday morning and peeking through the blinds. I'm not being nosy. I'm praying for people as they pull in the parking lot before I walk into this sanctuary. I've seen husbands and wives having knocked down drag outs in the car. I can read lips a little bit. You ain't nothing but a... And I'm like, whoa! And they get out of the car, good morning, pastors. Good to see you. I'm like, he's thinking hypocrite. I'll get you out of here, my kids. The kids sitting in the back seat. Then they watch you come in here and praise the Lord and worship. Some of us have had a change of heart, but we need to pray God give us a change of life. There's some things in my life that I have no power of. Listen, when I got saved, I cussed like a sailor. I worked construction, man. We invented cuss words. There's some things, man. I grew up in a Christian school, or the last few years of my school life. And buddy, me, if Roger Bush was here, I could say words this morning that you would go, "What?" Roger would giggle. He knew what they mean. We made up cuss words. Amen. We had our own cuss dictionary. I'm serious. We learned to say them in Spanish. I cuss like a sailor. Well, you know what? I got saved. Jesus saved my soul, forgave me of all my sins. I'm going to heaven when I die. But he didn't save my mouth. You know what I had to do? I had to pray every day, "God, help me. You help me with my heart. You help me with my eternity. Help me with my stupid mouth." Amen. Oh, I know more Christians got mouth trouble than you can shake a stick at. And a dentist ain't no hope for you. Your mouth's so crooked an orthodontist couldn't straighten you up. I'm glad y'all took that offering up for me first. Amen. Sister Angie, you might have got a bill had they waited till after. Because I'm looking at these faces out here. Amen. Come on, preacher. I ain't just talking about cussing. I'm talking about the way you talk. Yeah. Yeah. In public, in front of people. Yeah. I've been in restaurants before and had to kick dear brothers in the shin. Got a lost man sitting at the table and you're running down God's people. Shut your mouth. Amen. You think our job is to make the gospel appealing. Yeah. Let me ask you a question this morning. As a Christian, is your life making somebody lost go, "Woo, I want what they got. Yeah. Come on, I need a dose of that." I wish I was that happy. I wish I had that kind of attitude. I'm telling you, we make a difference by loving, but we make a difference by living. Somebody said your life is the only Bible some people ever read. And that's the God's truth. But our problem is we got too many people hiding the gospel. You know what it is? You ain't come out of the closet yet. Boy, got quiet there, didn't he? Hey, if the homosexual crowd couldn't come out of the closet, why can't you?
Amen.
Why don't you come out of the closet on your job tomorrow? Why don't you walk in singing Amazing Grace instead of Boot Scootin' Boogie? They probably don't even play that no more. I don't know what the songs are. Instead of one of these popular songs, why don't you walk in singing Amazing Grace in the morning? People will go, "What got into you?" You ain't got to walk in judging everybody and pointing your finger at them. But you can walk in with a smile on your face. You can walk in and say, "Hey, man, I appreciate the job you're doing around here." Even when it ain't your boss.
Amen.
Man, we can live our lives in the front of other people that'll make a difference in them.
Amen.
Have you ever been on a job for a lengthy period of time and you don't even think people are watching, you're paying attention to you, and all of a sudden somebody's going through a divorce or a death or a hard time and they come to you?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they come to you? I had a brother tell me a while back, and he's one of my deacons, so you can guess among three, Brother Warren. Brother Warren said something a while back. We talked pretty regular. Brother Warren said something about, "I don't know why people feel like they got to tell me their problem." You remember that? "I don't know why people got feel like they got to come tell me everything." I do. They feel like they can. Thank God we can live a life that people feel like, "Hey, he can help me. They got something I need. I got to hurry this morning. I got a whole lot more." We can make a difference in the lives of people. This is my desire. This is what I want. More than I want to expand, more than I want to knock out walls, and I'd love to do that. I'd love to double size this sanctuary. I believe the Lord would fill it.
Amen.
He's filled this one over and over and over and over again. I mean, that's something I desire. I desire to have Gold Dust Park. I went and watched my grandson play basketball there yesterday. You asked Brother Todd. I talked more about how good a sanctuary that'd make than I did about the ball game. I have a desire. I have a vision. I have a desire to grow. But my desire as an older pastor has changed somewhat over the year. Amen. More than physical growth, boy, I'd like to see some spiritual growth. Yeah. My desire is to see people's lives really, 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 really change. Yeah. Yeah. Not just start going to church on Sunday. Amen. We can make a difference in people's life by loving, by living. Look at Galatians chapter number 6. Two verses and I'm done, I promise. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 2. Galatians chapter number 6. I know this ain't, I know this is not woo-woo this morning. We had that during the singing. Amen. But if we get a hold of this, it would be. Let me ask you a question. How would you be feeling right now had you invited Miss Jenny to church this morning? How would you be feeling? I wouldn't say nothing to embarrass you, hon. How would you be feeling right now had you knelt in the altar and shared the gospel with her this morning? Somebody made a difference in her life. I know ultimately it was Jesus, but somebody gave an invitation. Somebody gave her a desire to come here and be here. We make a difference by loving. We make a difference by living. Y'all right? Watch this. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. I won't stay here long. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We can make a difference by loving. We can make a difference. What was the second one? By living. Watch this. We can make a difference by lifting. By lifting. By what? Lifting what? Preacher, lifting weights? No. Yeah, weights. Burdens are heavy sometimes. Burdens are heavy sometimes. Lord blessed me a little bit the other day, and it's just the way He does. I had some money in my pocket, and I had $200. Somebody had given to me. And I stand on this platform, the Lord said, one of them needs to go so-and-so, and one of them needs to go so-and-so. I didn't know why. I didn't ask. I just went and said, here, stick this in your pocket. I'm not tooting my whistle this morning. God knows my heart. It was not a sacrifice for me. I did nothing to get it. I just got it. And I gave it. I kind of figure that's why God gives it to me. So I, at the time, I didn't need it. I couldn't think of nothing pressing. And God said, hey, so-and-so needs $100, and so-and-so needs $100. I don't know what I lifted, but there must have been a $100 burden. Are you listening to me? Must have been a $100 burden. Hey, you say, well, preacher, I don't have $100 to give. It ain't always money. It ain't always money. I have a hard time walking around during fellowship because I can't make it back to the platform. But I love, just before church gets started, I love walking around and shake people's hands and say, hey, appreciate you, I love you. It's good to see you this morning. You say, that's just politicking. No, it ain't. I mean it. I'm glad you're here. I don't take that for granted. Some people come one time and they never come back. I'm glad they came one time. Somebody knocked on a door down here and people said, I went to that church one time, I'll never go back again. Okay, I'm glad you came one time. Bless God, I hope you never come back. No, that's not the attitude. I'm glad they came one time. You all right? Man, sometimes we get the opportunity to lift a burden. Every now and then, you don't even know why or who. But I may step in this pulpit and say, we got a family hurting. We got somebody in need. That little lady, was it Tuesday night, Brother Warren? Did you get that offering? Uh-oh. Anybody pick up $200 right here in the envelope? I had an envelope right here for them flowers. I don't know what happened to it. Uh-oh. Brother James, did you get it? You better watch it. I'm kidding. We took up an offering Tuesday night during our watch night service for a little lady that one of our men met preaching in the jail. She had a family member die, and she just couldn't afford the flowers for the casket. Y'all never met her in her life, but you met that need. Yeah. You lifted a burden.
We tried. Preacher lost some money. It was laying right there. I'm worried about that. Done lost my whole train of thought. I'm normally better than that with God's money. We broke for break and went out and ate, and I forgot all about it. We'll figure that out, brother. But listen, we make a difference in people's lives by loving. We make a difference in people's lives by living what we profess in front of them. Some of you ought to make up your mind. You ought to say to yourself, you ain't been nothing but a hypocrite, and you're going to do better this year. Yeah, it wouldn't hurt for you to go to people you work with or even some of your family and say, hey, I'm sorry for the way I've been acting in front of you. I'm going to try to do better. Pray for me. Pray for me. I hadn't been a very good example and hadn't been a very good Christian around you. I wish you'd pray for me that I'd do better. Try that. How can anybody respond negatively to that? Okay. We make a difference by loving, by living, by lifting. Let me give you this last one. I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We still okay this morning? Yeah. So, preacher, I like it better when you click your heels. Boy, we start living right. Yeah. We start doing right. Yeah. And we start helping people. And we start loving right. We'll click our heel. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at verse number 15. Now, you don't really think this would make a difference in somebody's life. But it will. 2 Timothy 2:15. Say the first word with me.
Study.
To show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now look up here right quick, and I'm done. We make a difference in people's lives by loving, by living right, by helping lift the burdens of others, but we make a difference in people's lives by learning. By learning. I had a lady call me in the middle of the night the other night. Was in a deep discussion with somebody in her family over the issue of eternal security. I had to give her answers. I had to give her scriptures. I can't give what I don't know. Somebody may come to you on your job and say, hey, I know you go to church. What's the Bible say about this? You ever had that happen?
Yes.
Have you ever said, I'll get back to you? We ought to study to show ourselves approved. We ought to study to show that, hey, what we profess, we know something about. Let me tell you something. You will never meet a stupid Mormon. You'll never meet a stupid Jehovah's Witness. They know their stuff. Chances are the average Baptist deacon couldn't deal with them. You know why? We ain't got no book in us.
Amen.
We ought to make up our mind. 2014, I'm going to learn something about this Bible.
Yeah. Come on.
I've been taught all my life that once saved, always saved. By the way, that term is not in the Bible. But eternal security is in here, one side, up one side and down the other. And we're going to help you with that. But listen to me. It's in there. But you need to get it from in here to in here. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Man, we need, hey, some of you ought to come Sunday school.
Amen.
Some of you are coming, and thank God for it.
Yep.
Brother Keith this morning got up here. First thing he did, he didn't thank God for me. He thanked God for Brother Freddie, man who taught him the Bible. That's good. There's no jealousy between us. Thank God we have men, Brother Charles and Brother Freddie, and these different ones that Brother Sam, that can take the Word of God and give it to other men and other women. We ought to know more about this book we say we believe. We wave that answer back to heaven, but we don't know quite where the answer is. I know the Bible says somewhere. You ever heard that statement? Don't the Bible say? I've had people say that stuff to me, Brother Brad. Don't the Bible say somewhere? And I'm like, no. You might have got that off a calendar somewhere, but it didn't come out of the Bible. I've had people say that stuff. Don't the Bible say? And I'm like, no, it don't. Don't the Bible say, spare the rod, spoil the child? No, it teaches that. A penny saves, a penny earned? No. It's a lot of these little cliches and saying that is a Bible principle, but it's not Scripture. We ought to know our Bible. You know what I'm going to do? here maybe in one of the next few Sunday nights. We're going to have a class on Sunday night. And I'm done preaching. Actually, y'all come and get a song. I'm gonna teach or preach a whole sermon on how to deal with people in the altar. Do you know you can do as much harm as good down here? And I love it when you come and pray with people. But you ought to know a little something about what you're doing. Amen. You come to the altar with somebody, you ought to bring your book. I'm going to get off the subject. Seriously, I want you to know. Maybe there's areas in your life I hadn't equipped you as well as I should have as a pastor. We're going to work on that. Why? Why? So we'll have a bunch of smart Christians? No! World's got enough smart people. We want to know enough to make a difference in somebody's life. I want to know enough to tell a couple about to divorce how to avoid it. I want enough to tell a couple trying to raise a wayward child how to get that child back to where he ought to be. I want to know enough to tell a lost man that's dying and go to hell how he can get that direction turned around and head toward heaven. I want to know enough to make a difference in somebody's life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Have you touched anybody's life this year in a good way? Is anybody closer to God today over this past year because you've been in their life? Thank God. Some of you, even Carl, raising his hands, and yes, I am, because somebody made a difference in my life. Hey, man, that's our job. We don't need a pat on the back for that. That's what we're supposed to do as a church, make a difference in the lives of people. Listen, I could march a parade of children in here right now. They'd come down both of those aisles, they'd fill that choir, they'd fill this platform, and they'd fill this floor up right here. And over and over and over and over and over, we could pass that microphone and they'd say, so-and-so made a difference in my life. This church has made a difference in my life. That's our job. And we want to continue to do it. Hey, I don't want to bore you. I don't want to get on your nerves. But we're going to harp on this all year long. I can make a difference. Brother Freddie can make a difference. Brother Charles can make a difference. But if you get on board with us, the three of us, we might affect a few lives. But you get all 250, 300 of us together going in the same direction, Katie, bar the door, honey. We can help some people. Not because we're loaded, but because of who we know. Amen. And what we know. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We can make a difference by loving. We can make a difference by living. Some of you need to change your living. Somebody said, I need to turn over a new leaf. No, it's rotten on the other side too. You need Christ. You need to change the way we live. We make a difference by lifting the burdens of others. We make a difference by learning, knowing what to tell people. By the way, if you don't have the right answer for something, don't give one. You can do more harm than good. Let's bow our heads all over the house. I know this was not a salvation sermon. Somebody already got saved here this morning. But it'd be a good time to get that thing settled. Somebody said, can you really know where you'll spend eternity when you die? The Bible says you can. John said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. There is a heaven, there is a hell. We'll spend eternity in one or the other. There's no in between. It's heaven or hell. And the choice is ours. I wonder if there's somebody here today. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't come to you for nothing. Just want to pray for you. It's a preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. If you can really know that, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. I wish you'd pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. Just want to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand. Say, preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I died today. Please pray for me. You slip up your hand, put it right back down. Anybody? How about this? Preacher, I'm saved. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. But my life is not doing what God meant it to do. I want to make a difference. In my family, in my co-workers, in my friends. Preacher, pray God to do a work in my heart that I would really be able to be a difference maker in the lives of somebody. How about that? Hands all over his building. All over his building. Thank you. We're going to pray. They're going to sing. This altar's open. People are already praying. You mind the Lord this morning. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for our time together. Thank you for our people. Lord, thank you for the sweet spirit, Lord. Thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost that come by during the singing. Lord, thank you for Miss Jenny, who come to know you as her Savior today. Lord God, thank you for these that raised their hands. God, you know every burden, you know every need. God, I pray you meet each and every one. And God, I'm thankful I'm praying to one who can do something about it. And Father, have your way, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.